Did you know that Byers Airport Subaru is the oldest Subaru retailer in the entire country? And we're conveniently located right by the airport. Start your journey today at columbussubaru.com. Byers Auto, driving the next generation of buyers.
In the dark, I fed my dream.
Welcome to episode 429 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, where PIMP stands for Permaculture is My Passion. The only Pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, practical living, and lately prostitutes. Oh, yeah, good to be here with y'all this Monday. Glad we are not in the full throes of World War III yet, but hey, day's still early. All right, this episode, as always, brought to you by the Sovereign Health Summit. That's going to be October 27th through the 31st. And TPC will get you 5% off as Tango Papa Charlie. Now, we do, for those that don't know, we do have availability of anybody that wants to be in the house, or if you want to stay home and watch it online. Either way, we got you covered. So go to the Sovereign Health Summit website, and we will get you squared away. Remember, we got Barbara O'Neill coming out there. You are going to want to check it out. Also, Nessa's Hemp. I've been using this stuff every single day. 10% off with promo code PERMA. Everybody's always, you know, if you're using CBD, folks, it is one of the nastiest industries out there because, as Nessa explained, and which I still haven't put on YouTube yet, as she explains, it is, I think she does in there in that interview or one of the others I heard. I don't know if I got into it much with her. But anyway, the CBD or cannabis industry is one of the nastiest industries out there. They have no concern about the junk they're putting in it. And they don't even care if they gave you olive oil and called it CBD oil. And plus, she has CBDA, as in alpha, the best out there. So anyway, PERMA will get you 10% off. All right, so I'm going to jump right into it. Man, I was literally running into the studio. I mean, when I say running, I mean quite literally running to get in here because I got another batch of bone sauce going. We got some rain, finally, and all the bone sauce we put up over the weekend, y'all, it is MIA. I think we got one jar of the 8-ounce still left. I think that's what it was. It may not even be there now, but hopefully I can get more up by tomorrow. Hopefully that's going to happen. But yeah, I just lit the fire out there and I was running back in here to try to get in and sit in this chair in time. All right, so some other things. Well, we had decent weather up until the point where they started bombing us with chemtrails and a whole lot of them. And it looks like it's going to be relatively cold for the next 3 days. Son, I don't know how it is. Everybody can sit out here. I don't know how it's so hard for people to look up and see what's happening.
Yeah, I don't get it. I think it's a combination of a bunch of different things. Part of it being what they're actually dropping on us, but the like multi-generational like attack on just common sense that they've had. I think we've gotten to the point where like people, I don't think some people literally have the capacity of understanding what that is or even noticing it. I think we're to the point now. Like there's this, it's a verse in 4 Ezra, and I can't remember exactly where it is. I'm pretty sure it's 4 Ezra, but it's talking about like in the end times where like intelligence is hard to find. And like, you'll be wondering like, do people have common sense? It's not a word for word quote, but that's basically the gist of it, is like searching for someone that has some doggone common sense. Thankfully we got plenty of people here in the chat, so all is not lost yet. But if you go out to Walmart or the Public, man.
Well, it's crazy when you bring that up, because I'm like, man, nobody knows what a passing lane is for, especially not in Nashville. Now, all the places up north, when I travel through New York and some of those other places, yeah, they seem to know. But it's like everybody has forgotten, A, what a passing lane is for. And it has gotten to the point, and I wonder if folks in the chat or anybody else out there has noticed this, but common sense ain't common no more. It's just not. I mean, you'll have a conversation with somebody, but I guess, you know, hey, son, you know what? To deflect from the Epstein files, we had to start World War III and pose a fake moon landing. So, I mean, I'm telling you what, the debunkers are having a field day on this thing. I mean, clearly all the footage that's coming from there, and I mean, it's not even, it is absolutely CGI. You're seeing things, I mean, well, like an astronaut has three different legs. I mean, it is absolutely positively crazy. And then you got Trump on, you know, Easter Sunday, if you celebrate it, he's out here. He puts out this note on, what is it, Truth Social, that is so far over the top. Everybody would, anybody with any gray matter would be saying, hold on. And then he says, praise Allah, when it's all said and done. And then here's the killer. Even Obama, I mean, you got the Satan worshiping Clintons, the Obamas, the Bushes, all of them would at least show up to a church on Easter. He's out there golfing, and you got all these so-called evangelical Schofield devotees that give this guy a pass on just about everything he does. And then to top it off, your mom tells me, because I kind of sequester myself from the news, that, okay, they rescued a downed pilot. First of all, that story doesn't make any sense. You're going to tell me a full bird colonel was sitting in the backseat of one of these aircrafts? Okay. Yeah, you lost me right there, because those of us that have been in the military know better than that. And then number two, 155 aircrafts, 155 aircrafts to go get one guy. Does anybody know how many troops we actually left in Vietnam? Man, it's really hard for me to not to give a history lesson right now, and this is not one you're going to find in the books. In a nutshell, Vietnam said, hey, for destroying our country, we want y'all to pay reparations. We said, absolutely not. They said, okay, all these POWs we got, they ain't coming home. They ain't coming back to you. Nobody knows that part of it. So we got all these MIAs missing in action, the numbers of which are on the next level. They were POWs, and then they became MIAs, and they never came home. You had the guy, if you've ever seen the movie, folks, I know I'm going a little bit sideways here, but I'm making a bigger point. If you've ever seen The Killing Fields, excellent, excellent movie about what the Khmer Rouge did in Cambodia, thanks to us, by the way. You can say what you want about Hitler. You can say what you want about Stalin, but Pol Pot killed a third of his population. An entire one-third of his population. And if you wore glasses, they thought you were smart, so you were the first one to get killed. I mean, it's crazy. Anyway, we're going to put all this effort to go get one guy. You want me to believe that? But meanwhile, how many thousands did we leave in Vietnam to rot? And the reason why I brought up the killing fields, Sidney Shanberg, the guy that story is about, intrepid, unbelievable Pulitzer Prize-winning author. Read, folks, here's your homework. Read what he wrote about Vietnam and read who he appealed to, like people like supposed the hero John McCain, which he wasn't. Appealed to people like John McCain and a number of others to get our boys back from Vietnam and find out this is a Pulitzer Prize winning guy. A movie was made after his life called The Killing Fields, and he couldn't get anybody in the prostitute media or any of the politicians out there to go after the people that we had in Vietnam. And everybody that's funded it privately, well, either the missions got whacked or they got whacked. This is that little bit of history you're not going to find. So that being said, left all these people back in Vietnam, and you tell me we send 155. First of all, if you had 155 birds up in the air and you lost nobody, son, they're saying there was not a single person lost. Do I look like I just stepped out of the cotton fields? Come on, man. I guess I'm kidding myself. When you got everybody, so many people out there buying this BS, I guess I shouldn't be surprised. I guess I shouldn't be surprised that nobody's able to look up and see what's actually happening in the skies. But I'm working on ways to mitigate that. The one we did before worked for like a week and then it didn't. So I ain't talking about that no more.
Well, did you hear Mike Adams' latest interview, the one that came out today?
Yeah, I was listening to it when I was working out there. So I'm going to reach out to those guys and see if we can give that thing a try, because there's been a lot of people out there saying that they had one come out here. I spent, you know, $1,000 on this thing and it worked for a week and then it didn't. And now I'm questioning a lot of the stuff out there. So, yeah, they better have a money back guarantee on stuff like this, but or I won't be checking it out. Anyway, folks, colder. And over the next several days, and I guarantee we will have nonstop chemtrails over the next several days, and nobody's even going to notice. Nobody's going to notice. If anybody around here is, I mean, if anybody in the chat, do you, are you having a different, because we're from all over the world right now. Yeah. Like Ken and Amy say, no such thing as common sense. So if anybody, is anybody noticing different? I mean, are people waking up where you are? Because everywhere I turn them around here, if it ain't, you know, people that I personally know, man, I'm just coming across drones, family members, you name it, just complete drones. All right. So
hey, real quick on that note, there was a comment earlier, I believe it was from Heather Grandin, saying it's the young people that aren't paying attention. And that's kind of the opposite of what I've noticed. It seems like there's far more people that are awake that are around my generation and a little bit younger than the people that are older than me. If I can talk to the, like, I can talk to the average 30-year-old, I think, in this part of Texas, depending, maybe not this part of Texas, but like Tennessee, or at least in the crowds that we're typically in, I can talk to the average 30-year-old and they're going to largely understand at least the broad topics of what I'm talking about. But if I mention the same thing to like a 60-year-old at a homesteading festival, it's flip a coin about whether or not they think that's over the top. Like I have to convince people typically at these homestead festivals that I teach at, that weather engineering is a thing, because I use the whole Helene thing as an example of the importance of soil biology. And half of them are like, that's a little far-fetched, or I don't know if I necessarily believe that. And yeah, but my demographic or my age group, I think, is far more awake than what a lot of people think. Now, it's also hedged with the extreme other side as well. So, and they seem to be the more popular ones. So, yeah, on the face of it, my generation looks horrible, but
son, I'm right there with you. What I'm noticing is exactly what you notice. I'm part of the Generation X, the baby boomers, by and large. I would say 90% of the baby boomers I know not only do not know, don't want to know. And I would say about 50% of Gen X, they know, but they don't care. They're aware of it. But the universal response to both generations is, well, I can't do anything about it. And then I respond to, I know what they're, you know, if it's a friend, I'm like, well, you can't do anything about that football game you watch, but you know every stat, you know every little bit out there. So, yeah, that's what my experience has been. 90% of the baby boomers, they cannot see it. They will not see it. 50% of my generation, they see it, but they don't care. And then your generation, I would say overwhelmingly, I would say 90%, maybe 80% of them are aware that it's happening. And I have the generation just below you, they are wide awake. So I'm not seeing it in the young people. The young people seem, thank God for them, because I don't even know what to say, because by and large, I mean, every time I say something like this, some boomer's going to reach out to me, send a nasty letter. Like I said, maybe you're in that 10%, but 90% of the ones I come across, honestly, are the most, I think it was Scipio Eruditus that said, you know, he said to me, I think there might be a curse over that entire generation. And I'm starting to wonder, because I don't know how you can see some of the things that are, this is the same generation that, don't tell me this is, look, y'all were there when Kennedy died, and they still believe the official story on that. I mean, but, you're looking at this fake moon footage and you're like, oh yeah, way to go, America. I'm like, what? That's fake as a $3 bill.
I think it's a lie consciously. Like, it's a belief consciously based on the lie, because the system, they're the last generation the system actually worked for. Like, go to your 9-to-5, you'll make a good living, you can afford to support your family, and then once you retire, you'll be taken care of that way. They were the last generation for any of that system to work for. Then on, it doesn't work. Like, the inflation on the currency, that's the last generation the system worked for. So they're like, they have an incentive to believe the lie, because it's gotten them to this point very, very comfortably.
At the end of the day, I'm looking at poison being dropped out of aircrafts onto my son and my grandbaby, my daughter-in-law, my mom and dad, my brothers. If nothing else, that should be all the excuse you need. And that's why I'm saying, folks, I'm not optimistic about where we go from here. I'll be honest with you. It was Eisenhower, and I'm going to loosely quote it, but he said, history does not long entrust freedom to the weak, stupid, and timid. It was right there in front of the VA hospital, and I'm like, okay, yeah, that's one to remember. And that's why I don't have the most positive outlook of where we go in this country until we have our version of a Great Depression. Now, you had the Roaring 20s, chicken in every pot. Everybody was doing great. Then 1929, you have the Great Depression. What happened? It produced a generation that some called the greatest generation. I, in many ways, would probably agree with that. I think an argument could be made about, you know, the generation during the Revolution. But roughly, you know, I get the point. I can definitely see that point. But what did it take? It took a decade of really, really hard times. And judging by the way things are going right now, I think we may have an opportunity to see what that feels like. So, folks, that's why the topics have been what they've been as of late, because, frankly, most people are just not going to get it. They're not going to get it, and they're never going to get it, and they'll be in the middle of starving to death before any of them get it. So, yeah, just hold on to your hat, y'all. If this thing keeps up the way it is, and I see no evidence that it's not, if it stays the way it is, I mean, we are looking at a calamity that is unimaginable, especially if it expands, because wars expand. They always do. And like Michael Yon says, they expand unexpectedly. All right, so I'm going to get back on track here. So we got the sheep down here in a two-day rotation, meaning that they move every second day. So they get moved, and now that's as the spring flush gets more and more off and running. And I could probably move them every single day, but right now I'm going to leave them on a two-day rotation because part of what they're doing is working the forest that I need a little more attention on. And so it gives me an opportunity to take some hay, put it up in there on that second day. They really don't touch it all that much because there's so much forage in there for them to eat. But the idea being is I want that carbon down on the soil. So here in about a week, they'll probably go to an everyday move. We'll see what's happening. Got some trees I got to plant. Yeah, y'all. I mean, if I find a good deal, I will plant a tree in spring, even though I recommend everybody do it in the fall if you possibly can. Deciduous trees, that is. Well, we come across a good deal. I was at the farmer's market this last week. And by the way, came across this guy I have got to get on the program. Just brought up a comment, just casually. He's one of the guys that was awake. And you got every hoople-headed hipster in the world at these farmer's markets. But I just happened to go up there and talk to the guy. I asked him, I said, hey, you got breakfast sausage? And then I can't remember what he said. And I mentioned something about the trails up in the sky. And then he says, man, don't get me started on that. I got stories about Helene. Anyway, I sat there for a while talking to this guy, and what he experienced has got to be made known to the public. So I'm going to be leaning on him to try to get him on this program because his story is going to blow your mind about what happened before, right before Helene, and what happened thereafter. And he's just scratching it out of the wilderness right now. But folks, when we talk about these weather events and how they're engineered, you ought to hear his end of it because he's got a story that will absolutely positively blow your mind. And anyway, son, I'll just leave it right there. Besides, well, I think I've covered pretty much everything I need to talk about right now. Let me kick it on over to you.
Yeah, today, like right before the podcast, my allergies have been messing with me all day to some extent. But right before the podcast, I was outside mowing. And now I'm fighting them off now. So if you guys see me randomly mute, it's because I'm blowing my nose or something like that. But actually, it didn't even register till now. And this might be an early plug for one of the sponsors. But I put this Wave Watch on sinus support? Yeah, sinus support. And it's helped out quite a bit. Before this, I was like sneezing. I was kind of concerned about how I was going to do that, do the podcast and everything like that. But it's helping. That's wild.
It works. Yeah. Every time I go to town, I'm wearing that thing.
Yeah, this thing works. Yeah. Oh, and then also a little side note on dad planting trees you planting trees in the spring. You're also in a much more forgiving climate as well. Like you guys get fairly consistent rainfall throughout the year and your temperatures aren't super, super hot during the summer. So you guys can kind of get away with that a little bit better than especially people down here in this part of Texas or even south of me. But other than that, just trying to get stuff ready, trying to come up with a plan for like mountain readiness coming up and what all we're going to be doing at that period of time. Right now I'm trying to plan and schedule things, but my planning and scheduling involves a bunch of other people. So it's never as smooth as you'd like it to be. That's what's going on with me right now. And then getting ready to do a compost flip video. And then the video after that will be about Moringa, and that'll be the announcement for Moringa seeds being on sale, as well as Good King Henry and things like that. So that will be happening this week, and that's exciting. But that's about it over here.
Yeah, Chris White says, I just got a notified Farm Connection is sending my November order. A lot of trees. Too late? Absolutely not. No, you're just, it's not too late, especially in these parts. But it is, you need to look after them less when you put them in the fall. See, what happens is trees in the dormant season, they invest everything into their roots. So the cool thing about that is, when you put them in the fall, once all the leaves are off and then you put them in the fall, well, they just spent an enormous amount of time putting down root growth. So it's going to make their survivability a lot better. You're going to have to water them less. But even if you put them in spring, it's not the end of the world. They'll end up making it. You're just going to have to water them more often and look after them. Make sure you put a really good mulch ring on them too. And that's part so many people forget.
If you could comment like where you are, Chris White, then that'll kind of give us a better understanding of like a game plan for you planting those trees and everything. But yeah, like Dad said, mulching, cardboard and mulching around those trees. Even if you're where I am in Texas, you can still get away with planting trees in the spring. It's the issue here.
The trees are on the way. He's got to plant either way.
Oh, he's in North Carolina. Yeah, he's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
Yeah, you'll be fine. They're on the way, but no, it's not the end of the world. This guy I was talking about, he had a mulberry bush, and I was like, okay, cool, don't have one of those. And he had a cultivar of apple that I don't have, and I'm thinking, okay, want both of those. And the apple variety, I've never even heard of it before, but supposedly it does well here, and it was grafted here, so that's going to be a good thing. So I'll give that a shot. All right, coming up. Mountain readiness, May 1st through the 3rd. William and I are going to be there. We're going to process a sheep from start to finish. What you don't get in a lot of these places, they show up with half an animal that's already been gutted and skinned. Well, folks, that's the most important thing when you process an animal. You need to know how to do that. So if they show up with a half, they tell you you're going to get a butchery class and they've already gut and skinned it. What are you getting? I mean, you got to get to that point. So we're going to show you from start to finish how to gut skin, how to break this thing down, and I think we're even going to eat it. All right, so bond charge, and that's going to be May 1st through the 3rd. Bond charge, if you want some of these balling glasses, keep the blue light out of your pupils, especially when you're not supposed to have them, bondcharge. Yeah, William's got it right there on the camera. So bond charge, they had a special 15% off, but I think their special still going until, they got a 25, no matter what you put in. Oh, shoot. Where is it from the 3rd to the 8th? What's today?
7th.
Yeah.
6th.
Yeah. Actually, you go there now, put in my discount code, you're going to get 25% off. So that's kind of hard to beat. Bond charge, usually 15%. Now you get another 10% off. That's 25. Can't beat that. And then the wellness blanket. Spoke to her the other day. And we got that thing on the bed, and it's doing great, man. That thing absolutely works. Just got to try to keep that doggone cat off of it. So, she just wants to lay on that thing all the time. So the wellness blanket, go check it out. 10% off with promo code PERMA. And then also for the folks that are asking soil savers, we got that link down below. So go check that out. All right. So we're going to jump into this good news.
Hey, real quick on that soil savers note, do you know the shelf life of it? Cause that's something I've been getting asked a lot lately. I think it's kind of indefinite, isn't it? As long as you don't put it in extreme temperatures and keep it dry.
Yeah. I mean, it should last for several years. I think I've asked Dr. Will that online before. It should last several years, but man, y'all need to be using it. I mean, Yeah, you got to get it out there for it to work. So, and the applications, I mean, you know, you definitely want to be getting it out there. So don't just, you know, a lot of people will buy bone saws and I'll hear from them a year later. And I'm like, man, you know, you got to use this stuff, man. You got to really got to use it. So for it to work. All right. Good news. Study finds moderate coffee consumption linked to lower risk of stress and mood disorders. That's except for me. Now, unless I'm in El Salvador where it grows and I drink it there, yeah, I do just fine. I get a little bit of, you know, energy boost. But if I have it up here, y'all, it depends which day of the week. I don't know. I lose it. But anyway, moderate coffee intake. But your mom makes that stuff that's so doggone strong. I don't like drinking coffee that tastes like hot water. But anyway, with the routine I have these days, honestly, I don't even feel like I need coffee. So I'm up and about. I haven't had coffee in a while. I may have some a little bit on Saturday or something, but outside of that, I'm really not a coffee drinker anymore. But anyway, guess it depends on who you are. Lower mental health risks, studies conclude. I guess because you're happy. Who isn't happy when they drink coffee? Except for me. At least I'm happy at first, and then it gets a little bit weird after a while. All right, so five seeds that may help regulate blood sugar. All right, so first of all, you're going to go, if you'll, well, let me just go ahead and tell you what they are. Chia seeds, fiber-rich stabilizer. Flax seed, see, that's what I was going to say. All of them are rich in fiber. Flax seed, a dual-action defender. Pumpkin seed, not only is pumpkin seed good for that, but it's also really good at chasing out some of them parasites in you. That's how we do it with the pigs. So pumpkin seeds, man, that will absolutely get it done. Sunflower seeds and fenugreek seeds. Yeah. So if you want to get on top of regulating your blood sugar, that's another way of going about it. Plus, it's also something to consider that if you're on any kind of medication or something like that, and let's say the worst should happen, and all of these drugs, for the most part, guess where they come from? China. So if we get mixed up in some kind of kerfuffle with China, you may want to have a plan B put back. But be thinking, be checking, be doing everything you possibly can to try to get yourself off of these things, because you probably shouldn't be on them long term anyway. All right, so here's one. Another, maybe, is it good news? Federal government allocates $144 million to combat microplastic threat in the human body. $144 million. All right. So what about these chemtrails? What about the microplastics that are dropping out of these chemtrails? You know, the water bottles everywhere. Mike Adams tested the water bottles not long ago. And if it's in a water, plastic water bottle, you're getting microplastics. To a certain extent, we can even look at it and see it under the microscope. Yeah. It'll have like a kaleidoscope kind of look to it. But I mean, that's really not what I'm looking for. But anyway, these micro, in fact, I'm less worried about it in active soil, because I'm convinced that nature will take care of that stuff. But yeah, they don't have a problem with the barium, aluminum, strontium, cadmium, whatever else they're dropping from the sky, but they allocate a whole $144 million to combat microplastics. That was supposed to be good news, but I'm going to take that one tongue in cheek. What do you think, son?
At least they made other people aware of the whole terminology. You know what I mean? At least they made it a news headline so other people are aware, oh, there's microplastics in humans, if they didn't already know. Because I don't think there's going to be anything highly productive out of that study. 144 million, it doesn't cost 144 million to find out how to get, there's already, like, I can't even mention these on YouTube, but there are ways to get it out of you that people have already published. It's like a fact. It's not even like a theory of whether or not some of these methods or things will get it out of you. I'm smelling a rat on this one.
Well, sure. I mean, I'm sure the real money is going to go to some sleazy politician somewhere. But, you know, one of the ways Dr. Jack Cruz has talked about getting it out of you was melanin production, getting a lot more sun, and how far that went in, you know, purging that stuff out of you. Sweating every day in a sauna or outside, take your pick, sweating profusely. I do it at least once a day. I was doing it twice a day. Sweating profusely, that's going to get rid of it. you know, good liver and kidney function. I mean, it's a shame this is the kind of place we live in right now, but folks, we have definitely got to be thinking about ways to get this stuff out. So like you said, son, I guess if the good news is at least they're making people aware, like, oh, that's a real problem. Yeah, it's a real problem. Yeah. All right, y'all. With that said, we're going to go to my man, Eric Sider.
Hey, Eric Sider here with your PimpCast tip of the day. Today's tip, who is a nation? I saw a post that said, I love America, but I hate its government. Is that a valid statement or a cop-out? We are supposed to have a representative government, but we all know that hasn't been the case for generations. At best, you can affect your city council, depending on the size of that city. But the state and federal level, it's basically a closed shop. They are all bought and paid for. If voting and protest does nothing, how much responsibility do we have as citizens? I believe we still have all the power, but only if we come together. That is why there is so much effort to keep us divided. If we all stopped going to work and stopped buying stuff for a week, we could probably stop a genocide. But only if during that week we got together with our neighbors and started a local food system. That is the foundation we need to make real change. And you don't need to worry about paying bills because all the bill collectors aren't at work either. So if you're an agent of the state, you need to decide which side you are on. It's actually so simple, but at the same time, so monumentally impossible to imagine we could implement this with our current consciousness. Which is also why, once you see things through the permaculture lens, you are equally as hopeful and frustrated every minute of every day. You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Eric Sider. In need of permaculture t-shirts, the official pimp gear of this pimp cast, or remote permaculture consultation and design, head over to ericsider.com. And for more information or to support my permaculture community group, head over to permaculturefairoaks.org.
That's my dog right there. Knocked it out of the park. And once again, son, what he's talking about the very thing we were talking about a moment ago.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. He killed me with the he's spot on whenever he said, like, once you figure out permaculture, it's like exciting and disappointing at the same time, because now you know the solutions, but you can't get anybody to like to listen. And that was what was super powerful about that. Was it Moms Across America?
Yeah.
Is that the group? Yeah. Yeah. Moms Across America, is that she was able to mobilize that many people to stand up for a particular cause. And you can't get my neighbors to grow a freaking fruit tree, because who's going to pick all the fruit?
Yeah, but that goes back to another thing too, where any meaningful thing that seems to be done these days seems to be happening by irate and dedicated women. And most guys have acquiesced. They're in there watching the ball game or doing whatever else. I mean, the women seem to be the ones out there in large part doing anything that really matters. And then Eric also said, you know, it was funny because your mom and I were just, I mean, we literally had this discussion about an hour ago. I was down in the kitchen and we were talking about some plans that we're trying to work out. You know, some other things about, well, I won't get into it now, but anyway. And somehow she says, your mom, man, she really has she's the smartest person in the room. And she's the only one that doesn't know it.
Yeah.
But she'll bring up some stuff sometimes and that'll just put me on my heels. And we were talking about, you know, the thing with Vietnam. That was actually her idea. Like, yeah, you're out. How many guys did we leave back in Vietnam? That was her idea. She came up with that. But we were just down there a little while ago talking about, I said, what does it say about the state of this country where you got one congressman, Thomas Massie, that isn't bought and paid for by foreign interests? One out of the whole gang. I mean, you know, it's kind of hard. You got 535 congressmen and you only got one of them. You got 100 senators, but somehow you only ever hear from Lindsey Graham. I mean, you know, down there in, what was that latest thing? He was down there in Disney World holding a little like ballerina slippers and a doggone pixie wand or whatever. And I'm like, what a freakazoid, man. This is what we got running. This is who's running things right now. Okay.
You grew up in Asheville, Dad.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah, there you go. All right, y'all. Micronic Silver, 10% off with promo code PERMA. Oh, my goodness, man. I've been using that stuff up my nose practically every single day. You know, it's better than the colloidal stuff by many magnitudes. It's the only stuff that I've ever noticed that really moves the needle. So that's why they're a sponsor here. So my Micronic Silver, 10% off with promo code PERMA. All right. Here's one I wanted to get into because you can see a pattern in the latest shows that we've done. Because, well, if you ask me my real opinion, I'm going to tell you, well, I don't know how much longer. I don't know how longer, much longer we are going to be a viable country when I see the state of affairs right now, when I see things going on. We find out that children are being eaten by the ultra wealthy and everybody yawns. Or you get Pam Bondi, when asked about it, brings up the stock market. Are you kidding me? This is the nature of the world we live in. So folks, look, I'm not trying to give everybody, this isn't about being gloom and doom. It's talking about what you better be ready for. Now, I'm going to jump into it and I'm going to be very, very honest about this thing. And it might tick some people off, but since when do I care? The title of this one is Why Most Preppers Are Going to Fail. Or they will fail. Son, I'll kick this one off. The first one right out of the gate is poor health. And if you've ever spent any time in a lot of prepper communities, you're going to find out that some of the most ardent people that are involved are some of the worst, are some of the least capable physically. And I'm also including myself once upon a time in there, folks. I weigh 170 pounds right now. I used to be 245 when I was on my tools, eating junk food every day, still, you know, have 1 foot in permaculture, 1 foot in preparedness, wasn't sleeping right, you know, all up, all hours of the night because I was working third shift to try to make more money. Yeah, I lost 75 pounds. I didn't do it all overnight, but it kind of, when I started doing the right things.
You kind of did.
Yeah. Well, when I just started doing the right things, you know, it just kind of fell off. For the most part, and then eating the right things. But yeah, right out of the bat, most are not going to make it because, well, I'll get into more of this in a little bit, but there was a guy, and William, you remember this guy back when we went to the Kansas City preparedness thing. Folks, I'm not exaggerating. The leader of that group was 500 pounds. Yeah. Every bit. So I don't think I'm exaggerating. I think if he wasn't 500, he was real close.
Yeah.
500 pounds. And he exuded a most melodious air. Should I put it that way? this guy, you couldn't be within 5 feet of him. I mean, it was a stench that you just couldn't imagine. And everybody would sit here and think, man, how's this guy in charge of everything? I mean, he's clearly can't even, we would put on our backpacks and walk a couple of miles and he couldn't even do that.
You saved his life that one time.
Yeah, I did save his life one time. He fell down. And, I mean, good night. He was about to go off the end of a cliff. He would have died. He would have definitely died. Couldn't get the smell of his arm off my hand for a day. But, yeah, that was – but look, bottom line, poor health is going to be number one, son. Let me kick it to you.
Yeah. The fact that you bragged about your preps to all of your neighbors trying to convince them to get into preparedness. Guy. Yeah. Yeah. If everybody knows what you have and where it's at, that's probably one of the biggest things, like the biggest failure points you could do. It's one thing to convince people like, hey, you know, you should probably think about putting some food back, but you don't want them, you're like your neighbors or your community, you don't want them to think that you have more than what they have. That's for sure. So don't go bragging to other people about how much food you got put back. Don't let people know where the food is, things like that, because that's exactly as soon as they get hungry, or even maybe slightly before they get hungry, as soon as they realize that the resupply is affected, they're going to be coming your way either peaceably or not peaceably. So there's that. You got to be able to defend your food. And the first step in defending your food and your supplies is making sure nobody knows about it. So that way you're just not even a target. But yeah, that's my first one.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because there's a doctor both of us know that. Yeah, there's a doctor both of us know. This was supposed to be a clandestine location. Told everybody at his doctor's office. Told everybody. I mean, there were guys. I worked in an entirely different trade. There were guys in the electrical trade coming up saying, "Hey, oh yeah, you know that doctor? Yeah, he's a doomsday prepper." And I'm like, "They're telling me this," and I'm like, "Okay."
Time I had to- patients who knew exactly where this stuff was. They were coming up to me like, "Hey, aren't you related to him? Hey, don't you guys have this and all that?" Yeah, I'm not going into detail about it, but yeah, it was a yeah.
Yeah, folks, you can't be a loud mouth and tell everybody what you have. It kind of defeats the whole purpose, especially the wrong people. And I could tell you stories about the wrong people out there hunting his property. It wasn't all they were hunting either. They store food, but don't know how to produce it. That's going to be my next one. So if I had a nickel for all the people that I knew had well-known people have, you know, all this food storage in the world, let's say they got a year put back. Well, what do you do on day 366? You don't get into your stores, folks, unless it's something you have to get into. If there's something you are growing, you eat fresh, you save your stores. You know, that is not the whole, you know, you've got to have a resupply line and you're going to have to be that for the most part. So that's my next one.
Yeah. And on that note, I know that like this is how a lot of homesteaders kind of get into homesteading and then into permaculture, starting with preparedness and then asking themselves about that resupply part. Like, okay, I have 25 years of food put back. What do I do on this 26th year? And then they get into homesteading and then they realize they go to the farm store a lot for their garden, for their animals, whatever it is. And then they get into permaculture. And that seems to be a pretty common route for people. But my next one is coffee. Coffee is going to get a lot of people caught, and specifically the smell of it. I was on a ruck going down the road. And then once you go down the road a little bit, it's nothing but cow pastures out there. Like you can see houses in the distance, but by no means are they close, like maybe eighth of a mile driveways, quarter of a mile driveways, things like that. And I was, while I was out there on the ruck, nobody around me, I couldn't see, like I was able to figure out there was a person watching me ruck based on the coffee that he had in his cup. I was able to like sniff him out and figure out, I mean, he wasn't doing anything creepy. He was just like out there. He was an old timer taking care of his cows and drinking coffee and saw me walking barefoot with a backpack and was probably getting some free entertainment for the day or something like that. But I was able to notice that he was even there. Had it not been for the coffee, I would have never even thought to look up to see if anybody was over there by the cows. But that coffee, like I could smell the creamer he had in his coffee. So if you start cooking, if you start making up coffee and people don't have access to coffee, that's going to stand out to people for sure.
Yeah. Son, I'm glad you pointed that out because it wasn't even on my list, but let me go ahead and point this out now that you said it. But folks, that is a big smell, sight, sound discipline. How many years, and I think I've talked about it in another program, the thing I hate more than anything at any of those campouts with the preparedness people are those people that wear those stupid head flashlights. Those flashlights are going to get, if it ever becomes to the worst part, those headlamps are going to get more people killed than anything. And also the need to feel like you got to put a fire out there at night. That's also, folks, you don't understand how dark it gets when you have no power anywhere. All of a sudden, your sense of smell, especially after you've been fasting a while, is very acute. So you don't want to be eating things like peanut butter. You don't want to eat things like William said with the coffee. If you have any coffee, you definitely got to be very careful about anything that's aromatic, but also sound discipline. Most people can't walk in the woods without making noise, but light discipline, that will get you smoked faster than anything. Because every time we go to those things, I was like, well, everybody take off those blasted headlamps. You got to learn to walk at night without those things. Every soldier knows how to do it. Every combat soldier knows how to walk without a doggone flashlight. You get your night vision and you do it. Folks, I'm telling you, should it go sideways, there are going to be so many people getting picked off because they don't know how to live without a flashlight or a fire. That will get you smoked. And then, of course, smell, everything that appeals to your senses. So be careful about those. All right, my next one's going to be they rely on gear instead of skills. That was the number one reason why I left the whole preparedness movement that was in Missouri and Kansas at that time. Because the biggest thing was everybody had their, it turned out to be like a show and tell thing. And I'm like, nearly, I'd say 95% of the people there were in it because it was like a gimmick. And I'm like, okay, so I got my bug out vehicle and that's all they cared about. Do you have any food? No, but I got my bug out vehicle. Or you have another guy worried about his guns. Got any food? No, but I got my guns. I'll take it. Okay, you're definitely somebody I don't want to be with. If you're going to steal, you know. Or it'll be some other person that says, I got food. Well, do you have guns? No, I don't have that. They were always missing a critical component with a lot of these folks. Or they would go out there. There was a guy I remember fancied himself as some survivalist. He's walking around with this backpack, and he's got bear traps in it in Kansas. In Kansas. Like, bro, what are you going to do with that bear trap? You know, catch some varmint. You see any bear running around the middle of Kansas? No, man. I'm dead serious. Had a bear trap in there. Even had this highfalutin fish trap. I'm like, you ever use that? I'm like, why not some string and some line and some bait? Anyway, yeah, they rely on gear instead of skills.
Real quick, NecroKitty had an awesome solution in the comments. They said, I drink yerba mate, not coffee. Problem solved. Yerba mate smells like earth. Like, it has a real earthy smell. It doesn't smell like peppermint tea would stick out. Chamomile to some extent would stick out. But yerba mate, and then also caffeine content in that yerba mate. And if you're in the South, like if you're trying to grow a caffeine alternative, you could go with Yaupon Holly, Yaupon Holly. And that has a caffeine content. It's not as high as coffee, but it's for sure something. And also has an earthy smell to it when it's brewed. But my next one is, I mean, I could go a couple of different routes. Fat and seasoning, not storing enough fat or seasoning. Fat, way more energy involved with the fat, 9 calories per gram versus the 4 calories for proteins and carbs. Also can it, like, it helps you cook whatever it is you're trying to cook in the form of like a fat to cook with. But yeah, that's something not a lot of people think of when it comes. And it's not so something that doesn't show up in a lot of like those food buckets that you buy, because it is kind of hard to, freeze dry or dehydrate fatty products. So they usually exclude those things in those food buckets you buy. But you're going to definitely wish you had it. And then also, if you're on an all rice diet for a period of time, you're going to wish you had some different seasonings to just kind of, you know, help with, if nothing else, help with morale. And then depending on what your seasonings are, it could also be like a medicine or medicine at the same time. Things like oregano or rosemary or thyme, things like that. All those have medicinal aspects as well. So you could be doing like a little 2-for-1 or 3-for-1 thing of seasoning your food, morale booster, and then also immune support at the same time. But on to you, Dad.
Yeah, I would say also that people, this is my next one, is that they prepare for comfort, not reality. And I mean that in a big way. You look at some of the preps that people put back. Well, little Johnny won't eat this. I'll tell you what, let little Johnny not eat for 3 or 4 days. He'll eat anything. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. So they're putting back foolish things. Honestly, this is why I'm a big fan of freeze drying my own stuff, because I know that what we're making here is nutrient dense, has everything in it that I need, is flavored to my specifications, but more importantly, that it is going to be driving my body in a good way, not just a bunch of, you know, I knew a guy that put back a 55-gallon drum full of rock candy and Jolly Ranchers. I mean, yeah, that's, you know, that'd be a nice little lift. I mean, barter, whatever the case may be. I mean, people would probably kill for sugar at a certain period of time. But honestly, so many people put back for comfort and not for the reality of the situation. Let's say you have limited funds. Well, you're going to go out there and buy freeze-dried meals, Or are you going to go out there, buy some 5-gallon buckets, some Mylar bags, and some rice off the shelf at Sam's? So you got to be thinking about that stuff. So at the end of the day, man, there's entire nations that live off rice and beans. So you can get both of those still pretty, they're still pretty inexpensive for the most part right now. And those can be the backbone of your preps.
Now, the next one I have is making sure that whatever your plan is, if things pop off or when things pop off, making sure all of that isn't heavily based on petroleum or permanently based on petroleum. And I know that seems obvious, but there's a lot of people who think, oh, I have like 500 gallon tank of diesel at the house, or I have 1,000 gallons of diesel at the house. That's something that everybody eventually is going to run out of, is fuel. That's something that we saw people run out of like fairly quickly at Helene. A lot of the material, like a lot of the supplies that we brought to people, was just like constant fuel use to run the equipment. Cause a lot of people were only like the only kind of like excavation for like the neighborhood and everything was whoever had like a skid steer, whoever had a tractor. So people were flying through fuel. Those machines were running like day and night pretty consistently for, I would say, like a couple months after the event. And that's something that everybody ran out of almost immediately, was fuel. And even if they had it stored, whatever it was, you still ran out. And then if your whole system is dependent upon petroleum, then your whole system just failed right there as well. It's one thing if you have like a set planned period of time to be using petroleum to get you squared away to whatever point you need to get to in order to be, you know, squared away. But it's different if like your entire farm, let's say, is run on petroleum, or your garden is dependent upon chemical fertilizers, or your farm, you know, requires a tractor to actually work it, or things like that. So try to, whatever your plan is, try to make it fuel independent, if at all possible.
Yeah. And that goes in my final one here. And that is, you know, they lack real world testing in a lot of these systems. People got generators in their garages and they bought them because, let's say it was an impending ice storm, and I'll bet dollars to donuts, they've never even fired them up, never even put the oil in it, never even found out whether or not the thing even works. And then better still, never even tied it into or turned off the main breaker to turn on the transfer switch, if that's how you do it, and find out, okay, can it, what loads can it handle at my house? Those are things you should really know, things you really got to start getting squared away on, because there's so many people out there that have all the things in their basements, but have never actually put them to work. I mean, have you tried the generator? Have you tried the water filter? Have you tried any of this stuff? And I would say by and large, that's honestly what I would find out at a lot of the preparedness campouts. They were called prepper camps, but I hate anything that ends in ER, because the powers that shouldn't be have managed to turn anything that ends in ER into a pejorative. But I think you get the point. So at these campouts, you would always see a bunch of green people come out there, which is, you know, understandable. But they would show up and they had a bunch of gear that they, like I said, a guy looked like he was Indiana Jones walking out there. Had the big hipster beard, the whole nine yards, had the hat, shirt looked like one of those shirts like the Croc Hunter, Steve like Irwin.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, looking like the Croc Hunter. I mean, that's exactly how the guy was, but he didn't have a clue. I mean, anybody carrying a bear trap in Kansas, I mean, clearly you got a few things out. This is why walking with your ruck over several days is very, very important. We had this little saying when I was in the 82nd Airborne, pack light, freeze at night. Because honestly, number one, I got to jump out that airplane with the backpack that I'm going to jump with, and you're going to be doing a lot of walking. You're going to be using them BMWs. Boots made for walking. And when you're going out there, the last thing you need, the last thing you ever want to be worried about is, man, this thing's way too heavy. So you learn real quickly that instead of carrying all this extra gear, because you got to be physically able to do it, instead of carrying all that gear, do I have things that could serve a dual purpose? Do I have things that could, I mean, you know what, if you got a whole squad of people out there, do you need, let's say there's eight of you, do you need eight tubes of toothpaste? No, you don't. Now, everybody needs their own toothbrush, because I ain't sharing that with anybody, but I think you get the point. So you can share some of these things. You can share the burden. But anyway, Yeah, they lack real world testing and a lot of things. So things jump off. They got no idea what works and what doesn't.
No, the last thing, this is something that I've noticed in every Alone series that I've ever watched. And if you're unfamiliar with Alone, it's like a survival series where they take however many contestants and they drop them off in the woods. And it's the one, it's the show that I've noticed that has the least, like, they film themselves. It's like Survivor Man, but competition. Like they have to film themselves, things like that. And one thing that all of these different winners lately have in common is that they have all practiced like fasting, like Dad has talked about before in the past, where you said like tactical fasting. They have all practiced fasting and they all put on a little bit extra weight in preparation for the fasting. I'm not saying you should do that or anything like that. This isn't like a competition that like a lot of these people intentionally became overweight so they could have like longer stores of fat for the fasting. That's something you might want to practice now and get used to working through as opposed to when crap is the fan and you have no other option. You'll be surprised at how long you can actually go and be just fine without eating as long as you have access to like salt and like electrolytes. And then you'll realize like a lot of these hunger pains is all just mental. It's all because your body is just used to eating at this point. I think of one time when I fasted in the past where I was like, okay, I've got to eat now. I'm getting like shaky and having some other kind of issues and things like that. But most of the time, it's all just like a mental battle of either your body's telling you you need electrolytes or you're just used to eating at that particular time. But fasting, practice it now, which I think most people should be doing anyway, just because, I mean, that's one of the for sure ways I'm able to combat like seasonal allergies. It used to be carnivore diet that stopped working for me to get rid of these seasonal allergies. But fasting, like once you hit that going into the third day, that's when I've noticed like a reprieve from pretty intense allergies. So fasting.
Yeah. And it's also a pretty good healing modality. I mean, it was, I can't remember who that Asian doctor was, but his point was well made when he said, you know, the only thing Jesus, Buddha, and Confucius agreed on was the benefits of fasting. Now, clearly, I favor Jesus over all of them. But the point's made is that everybody realizes that by fasting, it does incredible things for you. I mean, once you get to autophagy, that's when your body, you weren't meant to eat three meals a day every day. That's a Rockefeller thing, y'all. This is another thing that they sold us on. And that's why I did that video a while back. And then it wasn't long after I remember Darren Strong telling me that that a guy on Survivor or on that show you were talking about.
Alone.
Yeah, Alone did the very same thing that I was doing. I was like, yeah, absolutely. So you better know how to shoot. You better know how to do it on fasting. Plus, it'd be a good way to save if you have limited stores, be a good way to, you know, hang on to some of them. So, y'all, I want to thank everybody. I got to get out here and tend this fire. I got a fire that's cooking out here, making more bone sauce. If you need any more of that or comfrey, anything else, go check us out at the website. Man, things are getting crazier out there, y'all, and hopefully we kind of see some peace out of this confusion. Till next time, stay alert.
Stay alive.
I'm grooving with the truth, feeling anxious, who's got the answers, all we need to do, listen to the earth, they got us through, the right seeds of the shame, watch the world spin, from the smallest sprout, to the harmony begin, in the cycle of life, for the magic of life, tune it to the beat, feel the